me each and every afternoon from 3 to 7 for Road Rage, America's most informative and entertaining sports talk show, where we cover it all: baseball, basketball, football, hockey, boxing, UFC, bowling, the National Cat Fight League. We don't care what it is, from 3 to 7, we cover it. Join me each and every afternoon. Do not miss an episode of Road Rage.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
It's time for Out of Bounds.
Two beauties!
With William Quackenbush.
Slow your roll. The show goes till three, loser.
And Ben Milstead.
My gosh, we need an intervention for you.
Be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson. Touchdown! Hunter Renfro. Little man makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out on the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold.
Clemson's going to the Elite Eight!
Out of Bounds.
The center fielder at the wall!
It's out of here!
It's out of here!
Got the distance, doesn't have the accuracy!
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Tuesday, December 2nd, 2025. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead. We are live inside the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. 654 Roar, if you'd like to get in today on the phones, on the Adams Go Roofing text line. You'll be glad you did that. Say no more. Listen, I wasn't here yesterday, so I don't even know what y'all think about anything. I was just on planes. In planes also, by definition, that would be accurate. Glad to get back safely yesterday. Very glad that Courtney Etheridge. Did you know yesterday was National Dobo Day? Director of Basketball Operations. Did you know that?
I did not.
I was told that in the airport, and so... Courtney Etheridge, who has spent several years at Clemson under two staffs now, she is one of my favorites, and I'm going to give her a public shout-out because the plans for a smooth departure from the Bahamas and arrival back in Clemson came crashing down faster than the walls of Jericho yesterday at about 6:15 in the morning, and she got everybody home before midnight. And that was based on what we had in front of us, that was a Herculean feat. She went above and beyond. So I want to just say I'm thankful the week after Thanksgiving for Courtney today. I'm also thankful for Ben Milstead. How are you, sir?
Quack, I am fine on this cool, wet Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday. more importantly, welcome home, Quack. Welcome home. It feels like you've been gone like a month, buddy. Where have you been?
Oh, man.
When was the last time you were in studio?
Last Monday.
Yeah.
Yep. A great song, by the way. I forgot about Daughtry Home. That's a great one. That's one you can belt out a little bit.
Yeah. I'm sure you were happy to be home to see your wife and Hollis, daughter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I tell you?
Small Quack.
I got home last night, and Leah said, you can go see her, but don't wake her up. So I go in, and I was like, she was already kind of awake. Like, so then it's my responsibility.
Oh, I tripped over the rocking chair walking in the room as she woke up. Oh, no.
I mean, it's just, I needed to see her. I just needed signs of life. And so I got to, like, put her back to sleep, and then I laid her back down. So that was cool last night. And then this morning... Dad brought her a, I brought her a little stuffed whale with a little octopus on the shoulder from the Bahamas. It cost about a zillion dollars. And she did look at it sideways. She literally turned her head and she was like, what is this? And by the end of that interaction, I think she did not, she knew what it was. So we're in a good spot there. Have you ever had a stressful trip to the Bahamas? Or like to any, like a place where you just, like I was looking at my resting heart rates this week, and I know for a fact that I was, I didn't feel stressed, but I know.
I don't stress out during travel that much anymore. I'm a little anxious driving to an airport, but once I am in the gate, in the building, I know that I'm going to make the first flight on time. I don't worry about things I can't control. I do worry about. I worry about lots of things I can't control. I try not to worry about things I can't control. And on an airplane, you know, like when the plane lands, I'm not one that stands in the aisle. Like, we're all getting off at the same time.
Correct.
When they call group one and I know I'm in group two, I don't go stand and wait. I'm going to get on the plane. When there's a possibility of a delay at the connecting flight, I'm like, yeah, okay. Hope it works out. Somehow, some way, I will make it home. So just traveling is stressful, but I probably handle it better than most, to be honest with you. Driving, another question.
Really?
I have anxiety about thinking about driving home today.
You and my wife are the opposite. My wife is like, I'll drive anywhere, but I want to be in control of how fast we're going and where we're going, and I don't want to be at the mercy of other people. I say that's because she's in the passenger seat. Mm-hmm. I love for somebody else to take me places. That's awesome for me.
I will say this. I've never flown into the Bahamas. It's always been on a cruise. So, texture talking about customs and things. Customs when you're on a cruise is easy as can be. I mean, it's really not customs. It's like, oh, yeah, that looks like you. Come on in. You know, that kind of a thing.
It's also easier when you're with a big group. Like, when you're with a basketball team, they're, like, waiting on you to get there.
Yeah.
So that part of it was, it took a minute, but it wasn't like, they had a separate line for the teams coming through, and then they had the line for other people that did look longer and more stressful.
Customs going in and out of Canada, as efficient as it could possibly be. You do everything at a kiosk, and then you go and you have to actually see a real person for just a moment. Easy as can be.
Did they apologize to you for, oh, we're sorry we had to stop you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Here's some Canadian bacon and maple syrup,
Oh, man, that's awesome. Now, you
know what? Canadian bacon's just ham, sir.
It is ham with a little flair, you know, a little flair. I was really nervous the whole time that like something wasn't going to work right. And I don't know why, because I tested it. Like when we got there, I tested everything and we had a good plan for how to work stuff. But I think I was thinking back at it. I was like, I felt relaxed. So why is my heart rate going bonkers? And I think it's because every time I was connected for any of the shows that we did there, I was like, this is not going to work. And these are important. Like, the South Carolina pregame show is important. The halftime and postgame for South Carolina is very important. So that was stress.
You guys did great, though. You really did.
Thank you.
If you don't know, Kwok was in the Bahamas for the pregame show. Will Vandervoort was on site in Columbia. And when I say on site, he was sitting in his truck in the media parking lot. And Ashby was here. I listened to that as I was getting ready to head over to the stadium Saturday morning. Thought the three of you were in the same room.
Awesome.
So it was great.
Man, I'm so glad to hear that.
You were in the Bahamas, and we like to have fun at your expense. But you worked hard over there. Did a little football. How did you consume Clemson, South Carolina football?
So I need to give you a little bit of lay of the land. I do have thoughts on this, by the way. So our hotel, I was not prepared for the entire lobby of the hotel as a casino. Was not prepared for that. I was prepared that there would be a casino in the lobby of the hotel. Was totally not prepared for, like, the entire center of this thing is a casino with a sports book attached. So legitimately, you walk downstairs, you're going anywhere you got to go, you're walking past tables and slots and all kinds of stuff. And so we, you just had to navigate that every time. So the first half, some of the staff, in fact, Sean Poppy asked me, where are we watching the game? And I was like, look, man, I got to go somewhere where I can easily get back to my room. So we found a pizza spot that had tables and lots of TVs and a little bar area. And so we had a little mini Clemson takeover of this pizza spot that was a pretty popular lunch and dinner and gelato destination. And that was nice. I mean, there were some Pitt fans in there. There were some Ohio State, Michigan fans in there watching, and they were making some noise. But we had the biggest crowd. So I watched the first half until about the seven-minute mark. Then I went back upstairs to do halftime. I came down, realized the staff had dispersed because they had practice and shoot around. They were going to do some film and stuff. And so I watched with a couple staffers at the sports book. It was on three of the TVs there, so we kind of were, you know, dodging people a little bit watching. So I watched that till about 7 minutes left in the game and went back upstairs and did fifth quarter. So it was good. Like, I got some communal stuff. I did realize that when you're not in Clemson, your game is not the biggest game. Ohio State, Michigan was on every biggest TV. So sometimes, you know, you got to kind of squint a little bit or be like, hey, can we put it on that medium TV up there? Because they really only cared, especially at the sports book. Like, the vast majority of people at the sports book were Ohio State and Michigan fans who were reacting to not our game. So, like, Clemson would do something good, and the three of us would be like, yeah! And look around, and there's no, I mean, no one reacting at all. They're all just staring at other games. That was a little trippy, I would say. By the way, speaking of that, there were several Clemson people down there, not for women's basketball, and I was not prepared for Clemson people to be wearing Clemson stuff and not be. I met a guy in the airport yesterday, and I'm going to talk about him later this week. He came up and introduced me in the Wendy's line. True story. In the Wendy's line, he said, I listen every day. I listened to the game yesterday at the resort. He's like, I listened to your call the game yesterday. I listen to you guys every day. You all do a fantastic job. And I met him in the Bahamas, not with women's basketball.
That's happened to me many times, all over the place. Yes, pretty cool.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, pretty cool when that happens.
So that's how I consume the game, kind of in pieces like that. And then it was quick up and down the elevator, so I was able to, like, watch on my phone in the intermediate. I enjoy doing that and not just sitting in my room stressing about the game for 3 hours.
I've told this before. I believe the last Clemson football game that I did not attend in person, home or away, was the 2014 Orange Bowl, Clemson Ohio State. Phillip Sykes and I were with men's basketball in Boston, and we went into a bar in the hotel there because they were the only one that had the channel, I guess. Or maybe we just wanted to watch it together. Regardless, there's six TVs above the bar, and they are all on hockey. And we asked them to change the one TV to the football. This is the Orange Bowl, 2014. It's kind of a big deal, you know? I mean, that's back when those games actually mattered. And, you know, we got the eye roll, like, it's the same game on six screens. Can we not just turn one screen?
It's game 37 of the hockey season. You'll probably be all right. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
That's my nightmare right there. You got to have somebody in your group that will ask for a bigger TV. That is not me. That's not why. I'm just there for a good time. I'm not there to ask to change the screen. But if you go to a sports bar, you got to be prepared. Somebody's got to be prepared to do that. I do have thoughts on Clemson and South Carolina. I have some thoughts on Lane Kiffin and the coaching carousel. Obviously, I gave some of that on Twitter yesterday. I was bored. We were just waiting on the bus.
I watched your 5-minute and 23-second video, and I appreciated that.
So I want to dive into some of that stuff. Got some basketball thoughts as well. Signing day's tomorrow. Vandy just got a quarterback flip from Georgia. I think the whole, listen, big picture, I think what we need, and we'll never do it, what we need is for everybody to, like, take a week, every fan base, to just take a week and do a retreat. And we get to decide at that retreat, we need to recalibrate our expectations. What do we need those expectations to be? Because when Vandy has got a chance at the playoff and is flipping five-star quarterbacks from Georgia, when Ole Miss and LSU and Florida are bringing the same resources to the table for the same human being as their coach, there's almost no such thing as expectations. The expectations are whatever it is that you're willing to pay for at this point.
Last year when Darian Mensa signed with Duke, that was the eye-opening moment for me that things would change. And it was no longer about necessarily about shingle schools or, you know, the name on the front of the jersey, things like that. The resources that the school had in terms of, you know, is your weight room nice? All of that changed for me when Darian Mensa, who could have gone to any school looking for a transfer portal quarterback, chose Duke University.
We'll talk about that on the other side. 654 Roar is the number. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on Clemson, South Carolina, what you thought and didn't think about things. I've had an extra day to sort of marinate on this game, so I do have lots of things to say. Stay with us. Hour number one continues after this.
Have you ever wondered if you need an estate plan? David Green hears that question daily, and the answer is always yes. Let David and his team guide you through the process of creating a personalized estate plan to protect your legacy for your family. Today is the day to make that happen. Don't wait another day. Call David Green at 271-7940, that's 271-7940, or visit greenlaw.legal to start securing your legacy today.
Get ready for the City of Malden's annual Christmas Parade, Saturday, December 6th at 2 p.m., brought to you by the Malden Chamber of Commerce. It all kicks off at the Golden Strip Career Center, rolls down Holland Road, and wraps up at Bridgeway Station. Enjoy marching bands, ROTC cadets, fire trucks, floats, a rolling car show, and plenty more. For the best view, grab your spot anywhere along Holland Road. Celebrate a season of joy presented by the Roar FM. Details at maldenchamber.org.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days, just in time for the holidays. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com, and apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Elevate your holiday feast and treat your guests to more than just a meal. Serve them a story of care, quality, and craftsmanship from AMPM Farms Butchery and Market. Bring the farm-to-table philosophy to every cut, sourcing premium meats from local and regional partners who share their commitment to integrity and flavor. Each selection is chosen for taste because your table deserves better than supermarket standards. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, Southern hospitality you can taste.
We all know and love Eggs Up Grill, but did you know they cater? From brunchy buffets to breakfast samplers, wraps, sandwiches, and salads, Eggs Up Grill has the best catering options in town. Are you a business owner or office manager looking to elevate your next meeting or party? How about a coach looking for your next team meal or box lunches? Visit Eggs Up Grill of Clemson, Seneca, or Greenwood. Ordering couldn't be easier for pickup and delivery through Easy Cater. Just visit eggsupgrill.com and click on the catering button. That's eggsupgrill.com.
Did you know that up to 60% of the air in your home comes from your crawl space or basement? If water, moisture, musty odors, or wood rot are hiding under your house, it could be damaging your home and your health. Crawl Space Medic Upstate, locally owned by a Clemson Engineering alum, offers honest, certified evaluations that you can trust. Schedule your free inspection today. No gimmicks, no upselling, just clear answers and long-lasting repairs from a team of fellow Tigers at Crawl Space Medic Upstate.
What if you didn't have to replace your mattress every 5 to 10 years? We developed a patented mattress called the Duo, the way every mattress should be made. And the best part? We're running our biggest sale of the year, where you can get the Duo for 30% off. This sale runs until December 7th. Visit engineeredsleep.com or come by our showroom at 333 North Pleasant Burg Drive. Stop waking up worse and start waking up better with engineered sleep.
QC Kinetics, they're stepping up their mission to tackle joint pain head-on, powered by the newest non-surgical procedure advances in the field. Now, this National Physicians Board they've got has added a new injectable compound. It's a remarkable healing compound that reduces inflammation, and it supports your body's ability to restore the damaged tissue. It's a powerful add-on to their protocols. No steroids, no narcotics, no surgery. You're going to love this. The results speak for themselves. In a major clinical study of this therapy, 74% of the people with severe knee pain experienced improvements within the first year. 74%. That's real life, real solutions. If you carried the pain too long for you, get in touch with QC Kinetics and have this breakthrough natural treatment help you get rid of that pain. QC Kinetics, real relief naturally. Call today, 864-766-8454 in Greenville and in Asheville. 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold-free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty, and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantyconfixit.com.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. It's your last chance to get exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing, and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 35% off. That's Lenovo.com.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
Hey, Dan, that spaceship-wide lunch meeting at noon, please say it's not more astronaut ice cream and powdered orange drink.
Negatory. Ground Control hooked us up with Easy Cater, so now we can order from a galaxy of restaurants with tools to stay on budget and meet our dietary needs.
Thank heavens. My dairy tolerance and anti-gravity is not great.
And with Easy Cater, it's all on one simple platform, so we can focus on space stuff, like that asteroid. So how about tacos? Hold the cheese.
Easy Cater, a stellar way to order food for work. Order now at EasyCater.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Hey, don't be a Grinch.
Merry Christmas.
Your team might be 3-9, 6-6, 9-3, or 12-0 this season.
Oh yeah, our Christmas tree is all about our favorite sports team.
But it's still the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, we are your source for sports talk this holiday season. 105.5 and 97.5. We are The Roar.
Continues out of bounds. William Quagamush, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks for joining us. This hour brought to you by our friends at Tiger Moving Company. Tiger Moving, Greenville.com. Tigermoving at gmail.com. Start the process with an email. Just a little Q&A just to figure out what they're dealing with. And then they're going to give you a quote, and then they're going to do the job. They always do. They do it great. They do it with professionalism. They're the clean-cut and reliable movers. Clemson grads own and operate the business. Clemson greats have their names on these trucks. It's an unbelievable company that gives unbelievable results in one of the most stressful times of your life. The stress of a move, there's nothing quite like it. You need a mover that is going to take stress off your plate, not add further stress to a stressful process. That is Tiger Moving Company. Five-star reviews all over their website, five-star reviews all over Google, and five-star reviews from us personally with our homes, our families, our business, our entire station was moved from there to here. Thanks to Tiger Moving. Do what we've done and give Tiger Moving a shout. Go to the website, tigermovinggreenville.com, tigermoving at gmail.com. Ben, let me start with this about Clemson, South Carolina, because I think this, I've had an extra day to sort of sit and think about some of these things that you guys, I'm sure, talked about quite a bit yesterday. Let me ask this before I give my take. What was your sense of the people's perspective on the Clemson and South Carolina game from the conversations that you guys were having on the air yesterday?
I guess the majority was very happy with the defensive effort. Couple of busts, obviously, but overall, I think they were happy that you did not see Lenore Sellers running all over you like he did last year. I think the masses are happy that Clemson ran the ball and ran it effectively like they did. And the wearing effect. We talked about the offensive line, banged up offensive line that played well. And really, I guess more than anything, that Clemson was just better everywhere than South Carolina. And I don't, speaking for myself here, I didn't expect to see that to the extent that we did.
So that's very similar to what I thought. I actually was worried at how much better Clemson was in the game to be up 6 late.
Yeah, that's very good point.
You know, like, I never watched South Carolina in the game in the second half. I did not watch the second half and think South Carolina's going to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did look at Clemson and say, these are things that you probably can't do if you want to win this game. Like the two passes that Cade missed into the end zone, the second interception, I'm like, man, those are scoring in a low-scoring game. You got to have those chances, which I want to get to Cade. Go ahead.
The four procedural calls by Clemson, which is, like, so uncharacteristic. Maybe not as much this year, but in, you know, overall, you don't see them do that kind of stuff. I have not watched the game again. I am curious as to what was going on with that. Were they doing something different to cause that?
So I asked Donnell about the illegal formation calls, and Donnell seemed to think it was the tackles trying to get a little bit of a different angle to catch Thomas and Stewart and the edge guys in passing downs.
Okay.
So they're like a half a step turn and kick. They're basically pre-kicking out, and it takes them off the line of scrimmage with their helmet. It is something that you don't see called very much, but if you do see it, it's that. He seemed pretty confident. Like I say, I've not gone back and rewatched it either, but I'll be interested to see if that's the case. You mentioned the running game. Perhaps the most surprising, I said this on Twitter yesterday, perhaps the most surprising thing to me was that Clemson, I full disclosure, I picked South Carolina to win the game on the pregame show. And the reason I picked South Carolina to win the game on the pregame show was that I felt like the most important chess piece for Tom Allen was Jaheim Lawson in this game. And he didn't have him.
And, you know, I didn't think about Lawson one time during the game.
Not once. Brilliant performance from the Clemson defense in that regard. The interior rushing, I felt like Clemson needed to possess the ball. They possessed the ball 39 minutes. If you can't run between the tackles, you're not possessing the ball. You can short passing game yourself to death, but you're not going to possess the ball with short passes and horizontal throws and get wide on RPOs. You're going to have to hand that ball off and win at the line of scrimmage in the teeth of the defense. And Clemson did that in this game. On third downs, by the way, South Carolina was 1-for-11 on third down. This is crazy to me, all right? South Carolina was 1-for-11 on third down. They threw the ball all 11 downs. All 11 times on third down. Clemson averaged 8.2 yards to go in third downs. They were 7-for-17. They ran the ball 7 times for 31 yards and got 4 first downs on the ground on third down. They were confident in short yardage situations that they were going to pick up the short yards. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. That says to me that Sadler and Sewell and then Linthicum in the middle, they did their job. I was not prepared for that. I was not prepared for the blocking of Bentaker and Sapp on those wham plays and the split zone and all that stuff where you're cracking across. I was not prepared for the tight ends to be able to pick that up. I was not. Clemson played well enough that these players that are better. Like, Olsen Pat Henry's just better at that. And Jaheim Lawson's really good at certain things that Clemson's just not going to be able to replace. And then Sadler and Sewell were not starting for a reason in those guard spots. But Clemson played well enough and they schemed well enough to be able to mitigate that. I thought Garrett Riley called a phenomenal game watching live.
I did all except one series that almost made me jump out the press box window. In that early in the fourth quarter, the series that had, I believe, three Cade Klubnik runs all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I'm
I didn't love that.
Okay. Clemson thinks there's 2 minutes left in the game instead of 12 minutes left in the game. What are we doing here? But you know, he got it out of his system and moved on.
Yeah, that was not my favorite.
But I agree with you for the rest.
I thought particularly early in the game, establishing a way the game needed to be played in order for Clemson to win, they did it and they stuck to it. And they ran it 40 times, and they averaged 3.7 yards a carry or whatever it was. That's a big deal. The other thing that I'm going to say about this game, okay, and I want to get to the defense in a second, but, Ben, this is crazy. I wasn't even going to say this. In fact, I argue with myself. I thought, you can't say this. This is – people won't know what to do with this information. You know, Cade Klubnik was 4 for his first 8 in the game. He misses a wide-open Antonio Whitfield. Like, nobody in – I mean, the closest guy to him was in Horry County, okay? And he misses him. Then he underthrows Randall on a play that, when I watched it off the line, I'm yelling in the pizza joint, touchdown, because I see the rub action, beautifully designed. Randall has beaten his man. That's a touchdown. There's no safety over there. You're accounting for the safety. There's no safety over there. That's a touchdown. He underthrows him. He throws a pick. Ben, that – I was like, the next series is going to be real important for Cade Klubnik. Do you know what Cade Klubnik did on the next series? He completed every pass on the next series. He went 5 for his next 5. He went 11 for his next 13. And 7 of those completions went for first downs. That was a moment in the game where Clemson, because you're not in control of the game, you're moving it, you're the better team, but you're not in control of the game. That was a moment in the game where Clemson needed its quarterback to get past a 2 consecutive very poor throws that cost you points and go and lead the team. And Cade Klubnik, in his career, I don't know that he's always done this, but in this game, he was the leader of the offense in the next probably 3 series. And he didn't throw a touchdown pass in the game. And he didn't, you know, he didn't have 500 yards. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what I thought about in the aftermath? I thought that's some Deshaun Watson stuff right there.
Yeah.
How many times did we see Deshaun Watson squander points? We don't think about that, but like the Pitt game is a perfect example. They scored 42 points in the Pitt game. But Deshaun Watson throws 2 picks in the end zone. What does he do? He comes right back and leads them right back down. That guy had the shortest memory of any quarterback, which is why people love him, because he's going to make the next play. It doesn't matter that he missed the last play. He's going to make the next play. Listen, Cade Klubnik didn't have a Deshaun Watson game here, but I'm talking about mentally between the ears and what it took to lead that football team to a game that was hard fought, a win that was hard fought. And at that point, you're going tit for tat for South Carolina. You're on the road. It's hostile. He led the offense for 3 series, throwing very few bad passes. He might have got bailed out by a tough catch one time. He's putting the ball on the money. It was one of the most impressive things I've seen Cade Klubnik do, to go from that interception that could have been like a 14-point swing and turn it around the next 3 series and get Clemson on the right track offensively. While the defense busted a couple times, the defense needed to fix itself, and it did in the second half. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. Ben, I was so impressed by the way Cade Klubnik comported himself in that environment. Like, for all the hate that the guy's gotten and all the deserved criticism that he's gotten over this season and over the course of his career, you got to give that guy his due. 24 of 39, 268, and a pick, that's not the story. The story is it could have come unglued because of the 1 or 2 mistakes that you made right there together, and he kept the thing together. And Garrett Riley kept the thing together, and the run game kept the thing together late in the first half so that they could get to halftime and win the game in the second half. That's what I thought about that. Texas said, Kwok, relax. Look, I said he didn't throw for 400. It wasn't Deshaun because Deshaun would have had six touchdowns in a game. But I'm saying that's one of the things that people loved about Deshaun Watson is that he could take a mistake, leave it, and go do the next thing. He never let mistakes compound.
That texter has not texted us in exactly 3 months. You must have hit a nerve.
Good.
I've been sitting on this one. Relax. I'm just kidding.
It's good to be back. This hour of the program brought to you by friends at Toyota of Easley. I was having a conversation with somebody on the trip about good dealerships and good service departments and just having a good relationship, being able to trust people that you buy cars from, being able to trust people that service your vehicles. And that's Toyota of Easley. Trustworthy service department. Trustworthy sales staff. Trustworthy ownership. Trustworthy brand in Toyota. You know what you're getting with Toyota, and you know what you're getting from Toyota of Easley as the upstate's foremost Toyota dealer. I mean, there's no chance that you can outdo, outwork, outshine Toyota of Easley. That's why they keep winning President's Awards. I mean, the plaques and the trophies, they speak for themselves. Go by and see the difference on Highway 123. Go see the pre-owned lot as well. That's Toyota of Easley, where their name means a great deal. Hour one of the program continues. Got more thoughts on the college football scene when we return. Got a Tiger at Clemson? Make visits easier and invest in your future with a new home at Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 8 miles from campus. This family-owned builder offers spacious, personalized homes starting in the mid-300,000s with quick move-ins available. Build from the ground up and design your dream space with luxury selections available, or lock in a low rate on a quick move-in home today. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Your Clemson connection starts at Sunrise.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one. Plumber.
Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties, the NBA and college basketball are back, and they are in full swing, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. The next few days is the best time because it's Feast Week again on Underdog. So from November 26th to November 30th, you can check the app daily for special promos. Playing on Underdog is a cinch. You just pick whether your favorite players are going higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, steals, assists. If you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. I love playing Underdog every single night. College basketball, NBA, sometimes both. It is absolutely the best way to enjoy a night of sports. Right now, here's what you do. Download the app. Use promo code OOB to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-get-terms_dfs_html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
If you run a business, you need video. Video for your website, social media, but you don't know where to turn. We've made it simple. Take the Double Dog Video Productions Double Dog Dare. We produce your video, and if you don't like it, you keep your money. We keep the video, we part as friends. A little secret, no one's ever asked for their money back, and you are going to love your video. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, your favorite drafts are poured at a frosty 29 degrees and rare barrel-aged whiskeys are served just the way you want them. It's bigger game days and bolder fight nights. I mean, where else can you find a scratch kitchen that always comes in clutch every day from lunch to late night? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local lodge.
Looking for expert tree care in the upstate? Call Franklin Tree Service, your trusted partner for quality tree work and more. Whether it's tree removal, trimming, stump grinding, or storm damage cleanup, Franklin Tree Service has you covered. Their certified team is committed to making your yard safe and beautiful. And as a proud longtime partner of the Roar, you know Franklin Tree Service is a name you can trust in the upstate. Affordable, reliable, and fully insured. Call Franklin Tree Service today at 864-947-9065.
Holiday shopping time is running out, so give a gift that actually gets used. Odyssey Vehicle Outfitters, home of Rhino Linings of Greenville, has gift certificates ready for the ladies and the men on your list. From spray-on bedliners and protective coatings to lift kits, wheels, lighting, racks, steps, and custom accessories. And they can upgrade their ride any way they want, whether they work hard, play hard, or hit the trails every weekend. This is the gift they'll remember long after the holidays are over. Don't wait. Grab holiday gift certificates now at odysseyvehicleoutfitters.com and wrap up something Rhino tough.
What's going on, everybody? Faxon Childress here from Fax on Sports. I'll be live alongside John Hite from 9 a.m. to noon, as always, on the Wednesday edition of the program. Looking forward to Wednesday's show, as we'll be breaking down the Tigers and the Crimson Tide. Massive basketball implications in the ACC. SEC challenge on both the men's and the women's side in the next 48 hours. We'll also be talking college football, coaching carousel, NFL, and more. We look forward to hearing from you at 654-ROAR from 9 a.m. to noon.
Clemson country, college football fans, this is your show, and this is The Roar.
Out of bounds. William Plogamus, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks for joining us here on the program. This hour brought to you by our friends at Collegiate Legacy Designs. This is the Terrys. And I mean, let me tell you, folks. Greg and Julie Terry, they do it right. Whatever they do it right. They are tremendous, tremendous supporters of Clemson. They are tremendous residents of the state of South Carolina, and they are giving a tremendous service this holiday season. If you're a Clemson grad, you're a Citadel grad, you're a Texas A&M grad, they have those as well. Collegiate Legacy Designs has ring plaques for you that will absolutely knock your socks off. They have five-star reviews all over the place, all over their website for people who are incredibly satisfied. They have the men's and the women's designs for the Clemson rings. That's incredible. Go online to see the difference there. I love it. If you love your Clemson ring, imagine how it'll look on your wall. Imagine how it'll look in your office and blown up like a plaque. Go online, collegiatelegacydesigns.com. That's collegiatelegacydesigns.com. You know, I was going to say something about South Carolina coming back. It kind of dovetails. This text we got from the 864 says, off topic, but would love your opinion. A lot of my close friends are UT fans. Should Tennessee fans be concerned at all with their program? See, this is kind of what I was talking about in the beginning. I've listened to so many words about the coaching searches and what guys are going to do in terms of building programs. Can you build a strong program? This fan base wants a consistent program, all this stuff. Man, Tennessee, I've been upfront that I think Tennessee should not be ranked. Tennessee's not a ranked team. They haven't beaten a single team with a winning record. If that were an ACC team, they would not be ranked. No one would even look into, are they one of the best 25 teams? No one would even care. They would just say that and not rank them. Tennessee is being ranked by proximity, and they actually, we joked about it for two whole months, the best win that Tennessee had all year was their loss to Georgia. We joked about it, and now it's actually true. The reality with Tennessee is you lost your quarterback at the end of spring. And you didn't have a robust pool of quarterbacks to choose from. So you just kind of got who you got. Joey Aguilar was never going to be an upgrade talent-wise on Nico Iamaleava. I'm also not sure that Nico would have done appreciably better. So, like, if you want to go to the playoff every year, I mean, maybe. But, like, you just went to the playoff last year as an at-large team. Are you worried about your program because you only won 8 this year? No. I think people are confusing, like, one season that was worse than last year to, well, program's over, fire and burn everybody, and we'll just do with something else. It's weird, Ben. Do you kind of get that sense?
I don't think they were very good last year, though, is the thing.
Well, I agree with that. I do agree with that.
I think there's some similarities between Tennessee and Clemson right now, honestly. I mean, it's a fan base that's a little worried about the trajectory of your program. And you know, I get it. By the way, speaking of Tennessee, explain the Josh Heupel quote to me, though, that where he turns down Penn State. He says, you know, he was rumored that it was rumored that Penn State was interested in him. I'm not sure I buy that, but regardless. And his quote was, "I wouldn't want low expectations. That's part of why I want to be here. We'll win big." Excuse, Josh, Penn State just hired an 11-win coach. They just fired a coach that was a play away from the national championship last year. Do you think their expectations are lower or higher than Tennessee? You got that backwards, buddy.
Yep. Yep. I think maybe, and I would need to hear the question about that, because I'm certain he didn't go, "By the way, I just want to make something clear. I just want to get this off my chest." I'm sure somebody asked him about that job, and so he's answering a little bit. Because it did seem out of left field. Like, why is no one is saying Josh Heupel's a candidate at Penn State?
It could have been taken a little out of context, because he was asked about the high expectations of the Tennessee fan base at the same time he's being asked about the Penn State job, and his response was, "I wouldn't want low expectations." You don't know if he's talking about the expectations of the Tennessee fan base or if he's taking a shot at Penn State. Regardless, of course fans are going to take it that he's taking a shot at Penn State.
This is what I'm talking about, though, okay? And I agree with you that I thought Tennessee was better on paper than they were on the field last year. They made the playoff. I think it was defensible to put them in the playoff, but they were better on paper than they were on the field. Texter says it's the downward trajectory. Okay, downward from what to what? Here's the last four seasons for Josh Heupel. 11 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins, 8 or 9 wins. What is the downward trajectory? Like, listen, if you want to have issues with where Josh Heupel is, that's fine. But we need to understand what Josh Heupel is doing. And again, I'm not somebody that's an over-believer in Josh Heupel. But right now, as of this moment, he's averaging 9.5 wins over a 4-year span at Tennessee. He is right now averaging, what is that? He's averaging 5 SEC wins a year at Tennessee and 2-6-2 records in the league. He's finished in the top 8 of the AP poll, top 10 of the AP poll, twice in 3 years. It's going to be 2 times in 4 years in the top 10. To me, we're confusing 1 year where you didn't get the same results as last year as a trajectory. You can't look at a line graph and look at, if you're just plotting wins on a line graph and say 11, 9, 10, 8, okay, there's a downward trajectory from 10 wins on the average to 9 wins on the average over a 4-year span. There's not enough downward data points. This time last year, we were talking about a team going from 9 wins to 10 wins and being in the playoff. You can't look at trajectory like that. I think there's too many places where one bad year is considered a bad trajectory, when in reality, if you hit the portal hard and develop like you're supposed to and get your coordinator hires right, you can win next year. I don't think trajectory has to be a thing anymore. And I think there's too many places that are pulling the trigger or trying to pull the trigger really fast. You know who was on a downward trajectory? Mark Stoops. Mark Stoops, that was a downward trajectory. That was a guy that had achieved some things and was never going to achieve those things again, because the program was on a downward trajectory. So they got rid of him. Not because of one bad year, but because of multiple bad years. For James Franklin, it was, whether you agree or disagree with it, for James Franklin, it was repeatedly not doing the thing that you needed to be able to do one time. Like, if James Franklin had beaten Ohio State once, gone to the playoff once before last year, been a national title contender once, like, he needed to do that a bunch. And he wasn't going to get close this year. And so they made a calculation there that their trajectory was basically plateau. Now, again, whether you agree or disagree, that's a separate deal. But, I mean, Ben, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I don't know that trajectory is even a real thing in some of these places where the coach wins, and because you thought he was going to keep winning and they have one down year, you're like, well, the goose is cooked and we got to fire him.
We don't ever focus on the part of trajectory that it can, the only way it can really be down is if you made it high to begin with.
Correct.
And that is the case. I still think Tennessee, you maybe at least flatlined a little bit, but you know, and I do see some similarities between where they are and where Clemson is right now. Maybe not to the extent that, certainly not to the extent that, that Clemson fell this year. You know, and there's also the, you know, the whole Nico situation in the offseason that, to Heupel's credit and Tennessee's credit, they navigated that about as well as you possibly could.
Yes. We can't, and this, you tell me if you disagree, and we'll go to Jamie on this.
So please, I'm not bashing Tennessee in any way. I'm just talking about the expectations part of this thing and all that.
I'm not an overbeliever in Heupel. Plain and simple. I'm not. But we can't sit there and say, hey, good on you, buddy. You stuck to your guns. You said you're not going to hold us hostage. You let your quarterback walk. Then there were some Tennessee fans that talked them into the guy that wants to be here is better than the guy that left. Never true. We talked about that on the show. It was never true that Joey Aguilar was an upgrade significantly on Nico. And you know what? He could have been the same. We said, you know what? If you get that out of him, you'll be fine. He wasn't as good as Nico. And the defense wasn't as good around him. They just weren't quite as good this year. That's why they went 8-4 with no quality wins. But there were people that convinced themselves that because Nico didn't, it's kind of like the Brent Venables thing. Like when Riley leaves, everybody's so gut punched that you're just believing in whatever walks in the door next. And Joey Aguilar was not it. I don't believe that Tennessee would have sought out Joey Aguilar if Nico had left in December last year. I think they would have gotten somebody better. Let's go to Jamie, who's up with us next on the phone. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, guys. This is JP Revolution. You might have known me from sending you those songs
yes.
a few weeks back.
Very good work, by the way. Very good.
Thank you, thank you. I've been working on a lot of them. I got a Clemson Death Valley one I'll send you, too. But anyway, not about that. In relation to, so I looked this morning at the recruiting for 2026. And so, you know, Clemson's somewhere around 16 or 17. And then you look at who's ahead of them, and you look at the ratio of NIL spend. So basically the top 10 spends on average of about $120,000 to $200,000 per recruit to get them in the door. Clemson was showing at about $55,000 per recruit today. Its next highest foe in ACC is Miami. And Miami, or actually Florida State, just a little bit higher, but Miami was up there close to the 150 range paying per NIL. Now, when you look at that in relation to how the trend is going, you know, that has a variant to be considered in that. So, for instance, if you know, Clemson continues to do what it's doing, it's bringing in 3.5, 4-star on average. And the output of those guys aren't where the guys who are now paying to get the 4.5 to 5 stars, would you consider that, you know, trending down, or would you consider that as being an issue that either you have to step up your game in terms of money? And I know there's been, you know, beating the dead horse about that for Clemson, but, you know, is that really a trend down, or is that, you know, kind of a leg up situation where you put yourself in a higher position simply because you're willing to put it all out there to go after the high guys, you know, the higher expense guys, the higher tool guys, the more elite guys. So I just wanted to pass that out to you guys, just kind of chew on it and think about it and maybe even speak to it. How do you see that in relation to, you know, the trending down in terms of, are you trending down because of what you're getting in? Or are you trending down in whatever regard? So I just wanted to, you know, handle that for you guys. So,
Jamie,
thank you.
That's a good question. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. We'll get to that on the other side, because I do think you can look at it from an NFL standpoint with one very significant caveat about how you recruit and develop related to the draft. We'll get to that in a second. First, let me tell you about Nick Lavery Law. Nick and his team do an awesome job. They really do. They do an awesome job of making sure that Clemson people, natives of the upstate, that they get the assistance that they need, the assistance they deserve. He'll give you a free consultation today if you're in a legal situation, DUI, an MIP, wrongful death, civil court, criminal court, workers' comp, things like that. He'll help you in a personal injury matter. He could do that for you as well. Nick wants to do that because he understands the stress of a legal situation, especially when you don't have the proper representation. Call him today for that free consultation, 864-654-3680. That's 864-654-3680. Visit him online at nicklaverylaw.com.